The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. It is great to have you here. 11 minutes after 6, join in for Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday at 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email is bill@billmeyershow.com. The facebook.com/billmeyershow feed is up in case you like to watch. A lot of people seem to like to do that. And, of course, streamed on KMED.com, heard on 106.3 in Jackson County, 106.7 in South Jackson County, and 99.3 and 105.9 in Grants Pass in Josephine County. I appreciate you listening one way or the other. Got a lot of interesting stuff going on this morning. And we're going to have a little look back at 6:30 or so. Dion, the legendary Dion, of course, he is Dion on the Belmonts. You know, this guy, a lot of people forget just how huge and what a transitionary force that Dion was between the big band era and the rock and roll era. And millions of singles sold back in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, The Wanderer and Teenager in Love and Runaround Sue, things like that. And I remember listening to a lot of this when I was a little kid because I would listen to my mom's records. And that was an artist of her heart. And then he ended up kind of growing up over time. I mean, he was just a teenager when he was, you know, a rock and roll star at that time. He's 85 and still working. 85 years old. It just astounds me. And from the interviews I was looking at, watching before, over the last couple of days before I get a chance to talk to him at 6:30, still pretty sharp. And he has a memoir, The Rock and Roll Philosopher, which is out there, which is quite an interesting kind of like storytelling going on. And he was always really big into the storytelling. And I first really heard of Dion in the late 60s when I was still, you know, pretty young boy at that point, when Abraham, Martin, and John came out. You know, the song about Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and, of course, assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And that's when I, you know, heard more about it. That was more of his maturing phase. And then he really got into a lot of blues, got into heroin, unfortunately, too, from the sounds of it. I'll have to ask him about that. And then ended up getting out of that through a prayer and faith, apparently. And we'll have a little talk with him. I was reading about that in the book, and we'll talk with him for a few minutes. And it's not very often to get a chance to talk to a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member. And like I said, a lot of people just may have forgotten over the years, especially in our short attention span culture these days, just how massive back in the days when, you know, early days of broadcast radio and everything, just how huge groups like that were and how they moved the needles and the tens of thousands of screaming teenagers, you know, at the big concerts that they would have in the day. In fact, I was looking in the book and there was what was it, the Winter Rock and Roll Tour. I think that's the name of it, though, but Dion ended up performing at some of the same shows that the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly was performing on before they ended up dying. I guess, you know, they died in that plane crash, you know, as we know, back in the day the music died. And, of course, Dion was not part of the tour at that point when they were in New York. It was really interesting stories. And so we hope to bend his ear for a couple of minutes at 6:30 or so, okay? So we have that coming up. Great story that was profiled in the Rogue Valley Times. There's just so much miserable news and drama, and you know, you wake up in the morning, you know, in my job, and sometimes it's like, could you just wake up and have everything working okay? Could you just wake up and in the morning and look through the news and, hey, things are good? Well, there was one of those days in which things went bad and then it went good, really good. And it was last Thursday. Buffy Pollock writes this story, and it's well worth checking this out today, about Ted Schatz. He's a contractor, was pulling a load of concrete down I-5, 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon. This was last week. And then he was suffering a heart attack. Didn't know it at that time, but he had the Widowmaker type of heart attack, in which the main artery, which is sending blood to the left side of the heart, becomes completely blocked. And he had no idea that he was going to be lying in the middle of the freeway. And what happened, there just seemed to be a whole bunch of first responders that just happened to be on the freeway at that time behind him. And he said, by the time I was on the freeway, it was too late to get off. So he was on the viaduct. I couldn't really pull over. So I went as far as I could trying to keep going. And behind shots, Talent resident and registered nurse Michelle McGregor noticed the brake lights flashing and the semi slowing down. And McGregor owns the senior care agency Advanced Care Life Services. She was headed to work a few hours later than her usual 9 a.m. And you think about some of the synchronicity that some of the ways that some people get saved some days. And I think that this ended up being one of those kind of stories. And she said, I thought, oh, wow, maybe someone was hit or there was a hazard in the road. So his truck was stopped and angled and kind of blocking everything. And so McGregor and two men who had stopped to try to help, Schott's driver door, which was locked, and then they got through the cab through the passenger side. He was unresponsive, and so they knew he was in trouble because he was turning gray. And so they got him out. They got him out, and over the next 6-7 minutes, McGregor ended up, along with a lot of other people, ended up saving Schott's life. And McGregor crediting the number of Good Samaritans who stopped to help, including an Asante nurse practitioner, Kelly Dale. Another unidentified doctor got out of his car, came up there, and was helping out. There was a critical care unit nurse and caregiver, Melissa Mowry. Many people who stopped had trauma bags with life-saving equipment in their personal vehicles, and they all kind of jumped in the situation. And then on top of that, you had Jackson County Fire District 5 Division Chief Aaron Bustard was near, and he got there at the crucial 5-minute mark to give him a shock from the defib that he kept in his rig. Amazing story. And so what could have been just a tragic day, contractor Ted Schott's lives today to haul more concrete. You know, I just love stories like that. And it was a lot of other people that ended up all getting together and showing how good people are. And with all the bad news you have these days. Sorry about that. Kind of tears me up a little bit, but I love that kind of a story. I just do. Anyway, a little postscript of this, and I'm hoping to maybe get them on the show, get the people involved in this sometime, maybe McGregor and Schott's here, that after Schott's rescue, they're planning to buy defibrillators for company vehicles, and they want to fundraise to buy defibs for local law enforcement vehicles. And additional info is going to be posted to her company's page. I think that's just wonderful news. I mean, having some of those portable defibs so that you don't have to be the pro, just be able to put it on someone and ka-chunk and off they go, save a number of lives here. I think that's great. Good story. Good story. Just loving that kind of story. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Wish we could have more stories like that. But I know it's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, but you can bring it back to reality if you want. And then we have a lot of other stories here, too, coming up. Let me tell you who else we have on the way here. Christine Menendez is a Bitcoin expert. Now, there is now at least according to an executive order, Trump administration is going for a strategic, not a Bitcoin reserve, a strategic cryptocurrency reserve. Cryptocurrency reserve. And I'm kind of not getting this. I'll be the first to admit I don't really get this because I'm looking at the price of Bitcoin. The other week was $109,000 and now it's like 69. It's below 70,000 right now. And normally when I think of strategic reserves, I think of things which are going to be of value and importance no matter what. You know, it's like gold is an example of an item that it's the one monetary substance that every country in the entire world agrees upon because of its long history. I'm not sure about a strategic reserve of of what to me look like speculative assets that can go from $109,000 to $69,000 in a matter of a few days. I don't know. Maybe, but of course, you know, if I had been wiser maybe early on and bought Bitcoin when it was 15 cents, you know, maybe I'd be saying, hey, let's have it as a strategic reserve too. I don't know. But so we'll talk with her about it. She's a Bitcoin expert and was one of the early adopters to this. And we'll talk about the executive order and all that other stuff. We'll also catch up on some local state politics, where it's headed here with former Josephine County Commissioner and former state senator Herman Bertschinger. We always have a good talk. And we have current Jackson County, rather. Pardon me, still have a little bit of that, a little bit of an allergy, something going on with me this morning. But anyway, Colleen Roberts, Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts is here, back from D.C. A lot of interesting stuff going on there with all the various counties. How are they going to be dealing with the next few years of the United States government, especially looking to trim spending and other things? So we'll talk with her about that and a whole bunch more, along with your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
The Montana Roofing Crews are very observant in their daily travels, and occasionally they can appear to be telepathic. Like this dramatized occurrence that actually happened recently. Well, it could. Maybe. It's possible.
Ah, this is turning out to be a fairly nice day. That intense reflection coming off my roof is sort of odd. I didn't know I had a skylight up in the attic.
Pardon me, ma'am. We're from Fontana Roofing. We couldn't help but read your thoughts as we drove by.
Sorry to intrude, but that blinding light coming off your roof is not a skylight. It's actually the remainder of your composite roof.
Oh, my.
Yes, a shiny roof means the protective granules have worn away, revealing the fiberglass matting underneath.
Fontana Roofing, do you know what I'm thinking now?
Let's get busy on a quote.
I'll get the ladder.
Give Fontana Roofing a call for a quote before they call you. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
It's true. Even the rogue gardener faces challenges.
What's a good thing? What isn't a good thing? It can be hard to distinguish. My frustration this year in my gardening was with the birds. That's why I'm talking about birds. All the stuff that they did, starting with the first crop of peas. And I mean, it has just been constant. And yet they did some good things.
Talk about it with Rogue Gardner, Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
23 minutes after 6, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, and a little bit of open phone time, 770-5633-770-KMED. Me, it kind of snuck up on you, but we have a continuing resolution, which is up, and I guess it looks like it's going to be possibly voted on today. In other words, it's keeping the spending as it is. A lot of conservatives, of course, are upset about this because, the Kentucky representative is not real happy about this. He looks like he's the one that's going to be joining Hakeem Jeffries and voting against it. But the way it's being presented out there is that we have to keep the spending sort of locked in there, and there will be some cuts in there, but for the most part, you have to keep sort of the status quo, because otherwise, on the 14th, the government shuts down and is out of money again. You know, it's that same sort of thing, this kabuki theater. And we knew we were coming up with this March deadline. And what are the Democrats doing? Putting ads out that are, you know, saying, hey, call Cliff Bentz and talk about how cowardly he is, and then he needs to put the money back into Medicaid and all the rest of this stuff. Well, hey, listen, Medicaid, which is the Oregon health plan, grew tons. They expanded that insanely over COVID time. It's not affordable. Can't do it all. You have to keep the neediest on Oregon health plan. you know, at some point, people are going to have to start trying to take care of themselves a little bit more, especially if you're working, you know, these kind of things. So Cliff Benz and others have are having to trim this up because there's no choice. And I've talked about this for a long time. There is no choice but to find some ways to trim spending. There is no $2 trillion pile of magic waste that can just be cut with nobody being hurt. Everyone's going to have to take some pain on this one. But anyway, Democrats are, for the first time, at least in a long time, they want a shutdown because they know that no matter what, Republicans always get blamed for shutdowns. It's just astounding to me, but it's true. It is the way it is. And so I guess at this point, you hold your nose and you pass the continuing resolution. You pass the CR and keep it going through September, and you work on it between now and then get a better budget deal as time goes on. I know it feels a little bit like the Lucy holding the football and taking it away from Charlie Brown again, Charlie Brown being the conservatives. But they may not have, I don't think they have any choice at this point in time. They're not going to get a real, real budget done in the next few days. Just saying. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Dave, you got a pebble. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I have a pebble and I have something good I'll talk about afterwards.
Okay, great.
My my pebble in my shoe is the auto pin with Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. It sounds like anybody could have used the auto pin because, you know, Biden was a vegetable. You know, he wasn't all there.
Yeah, he was not an entirely functional president. I will agree with you on that. So I guess, do you think anything will come of this, though? Because every time we have scandals like this, you know, you never seem to see a perk walk or anything walked back. You notice that?
Well, it's because nobody will do anything about it that's in power that can do anything. We'll see if Bondi does anything about it. I don't think she will. But the good thing is I turned 65 in June, and I got my Medicare card that starts in June. And so I called up the Social Security, the local office here, and to find out if I had to get some kind of advantage pin. And because California, I was on, you know, state the Medi-Cal through a part,
which is like the Oregon Health Plan, kind of like that same thing.
It's kind of like the Oregon Health Plan, except they call it Medi-Cal. Is covering my, you know, the stuff that Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay, well, that's some good news. You know, as long as the money keeps coming in, right?
Right.
Okay, that's the only caveat. Dave, I just have a suggestion for you and anybody else. Stay healthy, okay? All right, just stay healthy. Pray for you on that, all right? 628, appreciate the call. We'll catch up on a quick news. Dion and the Belmonts. A look back to this with this Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. We'll talk with him for a few minutes coming up, too, and then more of your calls.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products at the best prices and the best service. Of course, sellers always try to tell you that they're the best. Hughes Lumber has been selling lumber products for over 40 years in the Rogue Valley. So if you want to really know who has the best lumber deals, just ask a customer of Hughes Lumber in Medford on Crater Lake Highway, the customer's favorite choice.
Save more with Oregon E-Deals. Get an 8-inch Bundt cake, normally $31, now only $20 from Nothing Bundt Cakes. Treat yourself to a $50 Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar certificate for just $25. Get a pass to the Children's Museum of Southern Oregon, only $8 for a child admission, or a $25 gift certificate for Papa Murphy's, only $12. Visit OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on Oregon, EDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. It's beginning to look like Oregon's wildfire hazard map is dead. Speaking at a joint town hall with Republican Senator Noah Robinson, Ashland Democratic Senator Jeff Golden told the crowd he could say with a very high level of confidence that we are repealing the wildfire hazard map entirely, further stating that the second go of a risk map when you still walk the properties just don't make sense. Robinson announced he's introduced a bill to eliminate the map in its entirety. Oregon Congresswomen Andrea Salinas and Janelle Bynum sent a letter to the acting commissioner of the IRS expressing concern over plans to close IRS offices in Salem and Bend. They claim the offices provide valuable help to people. They're asking the agency to reconsider the decision. Oregon State Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill to increase the legal minimum age for marriage from 17 to 18. Legislators claim marriage shields a child rapist from charges. The bipartisan bill moves to the House. Bill London, KMED.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
6:31. It's not every day we get to talk to.
Well, I'm the type of guy who will never settle down.
Talk to a legend is what I was trying to say. We're going to bring the legend on now. The legendary Dion, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Millions of records sold. And really, the bridge between the big band era and the big rock and roll era here, too. Dion and the Belmonts. Dion, it's a pleasure having you on. Welcome to the show, sir.
Bill, it's a joy to be with you.
Indeed it is. You know, I got to tell you, I have great memories of you, too, because back when I was a kid, I was given, now I know I'm a few years younger than you, just a little bit, but I would always listen to my mom's 45s, and then for my ninth birthday, I was given like a Dick Clark 20 Years of Rock and Roll, had Run Around Sue on it. I played that album to death. My mother's name, middle name was Sue, and so I said, okay, yeah. And so I just played that to death, got to know all of your other hits too, Abraham, Martin, and John, and everything, kind of in the later period. And it's, you're still doing it, and you're still vibrant in doing it. What is your secret, you think, at this point?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I'm under the spout where the glory comes out, you know? I was telling somebody, I'm under the wellspring of creativity. All I know is I'm very grateful. I've been clean and sober for 57 years, so I think that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing an interview with Dave Marsh up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He said, Dion, you're the only guy from the 50s who's still creative and relevant. And I argued with him and lost, and I came home and I told my wife, I said, do you know what Dave Marsh? I said, who's Dave Marsh? I said, he's the great, you know, Rolling Stone writer in its peak era. I said, he said this, and she said, well, what are you going to do about it? He was just making a statement. She turned it into a dare. So I did these. I wrote 40 of the best songs I've ever written in the last 5 years, and I made these three blues albums, and they all went to number one on the blues charts. And I was like delighted with that, and I had a lot of friends join me, like Paul Simon and Bruce Springsteen and Eric Clapton and Peter Frampton.
In fact, Clapton wrote the foreword to your book here, the Rock and Roll Philosopher book, which is great. I mean, how many people get that here, Dion? It shows your...
I know. He's been a great friend. He's just, he's a great guy. He's a giver, you know, and we're good friends. We have a lot in common, We love the blues. And I started out with Jimmy Reed, and he knows we got the same roots, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dion, I wanted to ask you about the very early time, you know, when you're with the Belmonts, you joined the Belmonts. Now, essentially, the Belmont area, from what I understand, was like the Italian ghetto. So was the rock and roll singing and the writing the way out for you? Was that it?
Well, I put these three guys together, and we called ourselves Dion and the Belmonts, but, you know, at that time in the 50s, we didn't have instruments. I got a guitar because I wanted to transmit some of the feeling that I got from these records I was hearing as a kid. I heard Jimmy Reed and Hank Williams, and I wanted my friends to to enjoy something. I wanted to transmit it, you know. Yeah, it was fun making music right on the street. You know, it was like homemade music. You know, we could bang on cardboard boxes and beer bottles and do harmony. You know, and we'd make up sounds. You know, like the sounds behind Runaround Sue and the Wanderer.
Yeah,
we thought we were a horn section. You know, we'd go down to the Apollo and we'd hear the band, you know, playing like da 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 ba, da 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 da, and I'd come home and the guys would do that da 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 da. You know, we'd bop, hey, bum day day day.
Yep.
Hey, you know, we'd make sounds and make so it was like early rock and roll street music.
Yeah, doo-wop, that basis of it. Hey, you know, about those eras, you know, so many artists got ripped off by record companies in the early days of rock and roll, and I'm wondering how you were treated. I remember you even complained that you weren't given writing credit for The Wanderer, right?
Well, let me put it this way. I believe, I don't know if I've ever had an honest manager. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I have great taste in people. I tell you, I've had wonderful people around me all my life, and that's maybe one of the reasons why I'm still here, relevant, creative, and doing well and healthy. But I've had managers. what could I tell you? You know, thank God I know about forgiveness. I could be free and not walk around with resentments and stories and have to complain all my life. But I'm doing well, you know. So I don't think, there's a lot of these guys in the business. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe you a lot. You know, there's horror stories all over the place. Like it started with Jimmy Rogers, who sang Honeycomb. It was real bad. And Billy Joel got ripped off, and Paul Simon, and Leonard Cohen, and Randy Newman, and Tony Orlando. Someone took everything. So, and, you know, some of these people you trust, it's, you have to just be very, very attentive and be present and make sure, you know.
Yeah, you always had to be, hiring good people, right? You had talked about being clean and sober for some 57 years, but heroin was a big part for a while. And I'm kind of curious, did the heroin come from hanging out with the blues artists? That was a big part of the culture there for a while. Just curious.
Not really.
No?
It started, you know, when I was young, I just couldn't handle my emotions. It came into my neighborhood. I didn't know any blues artists or anything.
Okay.
In fact, the only blues artist I knew was Willie Green, who was a janitor of one of the tenement buildings, and he had overcome all that stuff and was trying to help me. So, but, you know, it just grabbed me as a kid. And it's progressive, and you dab in it, and it just grabs you, and it takes you down. It's slowly, you know, and it's not pretty, and by the grace of God, I got out of it. And
in fact, it was really faith that pulled you out, wasn't it, that got you there?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I said one night somebody told me, you need a power greater, you know, a sick mind can't cure a sick mind. They said, you better ask for help, a power greater than yourself. I got on my knees. I said a prayer. When I got up, I was changed. And I haven't had a drug or a drink since. So there you go.
All right. And still going strong, the legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Dion. And he has a great book out. It's a wonderful read. Great storytelling from many people influenced by Dion and people that Dion was influenced by, too. It's called The Rock and Roll Philosopher. I'll put the information up on KMED.com. And look forward to hearing more from you. Still going. Thank you, Dion. Great having you on the show.
Stay well, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you very much. 639 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG. When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Talks focusing on ending the Russia-Ukraine war are underway in Saudi Arabia. Secretary of State Rubio leading the U.S. delegation in discussions with Ukrainian officials. The talks come hours after Ukraine launched a massive drone attack on Russia and in the aftermath of recent stepped-up Russian attacks on Ukraine. The House will vote today on a stopgap funding bill to avert a looming partial government shutdown. The money bill will keep federal agencies going through September. President Trump's advice to Republicans: stand united in their support of the bill. Amid legal action over the arrest, the president says the detention of a pro-Hamas campus organizer is just the start. The day after recession fears sparked a big sell-off on Wall Street this morning, stock futures have been higher so far. The Dow futures are up 89 points, NASDAQ futures ahead 59. More details at srnnews.com.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736, CCB number 250730.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
642-770-5633. Great having you here this morning. I always kind of wonder when you're going to talk to someone that you've never had a chance to talk to before, like, you know, Dion. Is it going to work okay? Fortunately, you seem to be pretty cool with it. Pretty cool. And I'm glad to hear that it was early on that he got over the drug addiction. I don't know. Maybe it's just something about that, you know, living in the artist's world, right? Just seems to be the way it is. This is the way you end up dealing with it. But it's kind of a take no prisoners sort of guy. And I would imagine, though, that having been married to the same woman for 61 years has been a help, a real rock in his life. Anyway, we can talk about anything which happens to be on your mind. I ended up having a conversation with a Providence nurse who I'm going to have to leave their name out, but I wanted to share something that this nurse told me here in just a little bit, and delve into the agreement. Now that the Providence nurses have been back to work for a few days, the smoke has cleared. You know, everybody's written the contracts. I want to share with you some thoughts from a nurse that is not real happy about what happened. In fact, the nurse is trying to get the union decertified. And I have to keep their name out of this because otherwise they'll be, you know, attacked over, you know, other union members may peck them to death. But I'll share that with you here in the next few minutes. 6:43, let me go back to the phones. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is Ann. How are you?
I'm fine, Ann. How are you, horse lady?
I'm just fine. After listening to Dion, I'm of the same age group as he is.
Oh, yeah?
I'm about 3 years younger than he is. And you know, something I never hear mentioned is a DJ in Los Angeles. His name was Wolfman Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have time, look into him. He used to have a late night program. And I lived up in Northern California, and so I didn't get L.A. very often. But once in a great while, the atmosphere was correct, and I could get him, and I used to listen to him.
Now, were you listening to him on L.A., or was it a Mexican station? I thought he was on the on a border station, is how he was coming in. Maybe not.
I don't know where he was on. I know every once in a while, because he had a very distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, I'd pick him up, but I never hear him mentioned anymore, and he was a pretty popular DJ.
Yeah, he's been gone for quite a few years here.
Oh, yeah.
And, I remember, now, my introduction to Wolfman Jack was, I think, the American Graffiti movie, because, of course, he starred, you know, in that, or he played a part in American Graffiti back in the day, you know, the early George Lucas film. Remember that?
I remember because the thing where the chain pulled the rear axle out of the car.
Out of the police car, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was done down in Petaluma, which was close to me. It was only about 40 miles away.
You know, Ann, you know, since you lived back in the day, you know, that bridge between maybe the harder rocking era and the big band era, that late 50s, early 60s kind of thing, that was your era there. Do you think music meant more back in those days than it does perhaps now?
Music was very, very popular. And music was so popular because there was no TV and there was no FM. There was only AM radio.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that was part of it. It's not like today where you can just do a few clicks of the mouse and then you bring up somebody on Spotify or YouTube Music, you know, those sort of things, and you just get it. It used to be, I remember that finding the song that I liked in the record store was such a big deal because you couldn't always, it wasn't guaranteed that you'd find it, you know, for one thing. And it was not cheap. You know, for a little kid, you know, buying a single at, 99 cents or something, that 99 cents came pretty hard in those days.
Well, money was money in those days.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting. It was an interesting time to be a kid.
And I think because the music was harder to get and less easily distributed, we appreciated it more than I think people can now. I don't know.
And spent a lot of time on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it. That was the linchpin. Thanks for the call, Ann. Great hearing from you. Let me go to the next line here. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, but we can talk about anything on your mind. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony. What's going on with you?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing good. Hey, the pebble in my shoe been in there for quite some time. It's when we have these government shutdowns, the government employees, they go home, do whatever they do, but once it's over with, they get paid. Just as if they had never left.
Yeah, it's just an extra paid vacation, if that happens that way. That gets pretty irritating, doesn't it? Because what's the point of having a government shutdown, or what's the point of them even complaining about a government shutdown? Oh, you're keeping needed services away from, you know, from us, if nobody gets hurt in the end.
Huh? This would seem like this would be right up Prince Alley to say, hey, man, you're not getting paid. Stick around and we'll pay you. If you're going to go home, you're not getting paid.
Well, it would be better at this point if there not be a shutdown because, you know, given the way things are right now, Republicans are always blamed for the shutdown one way or the other, even though the only way it would happen this time is if Democrats voted against the CR. You know, that's it. That's the only way it happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, Tony. Hey, good hearing from you. All righty. Thanks again.
All right. Hey, thanks, Bill.
12 before 7, 770-5633. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Co., Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. Single Care works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check Single Care to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633.
On Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, we can discuss whatever tends to be irritating you a bit. I saved a nurse's pebble from the other week, and for some reason, you know, sometimes you'll get a phone call and you take some notes from people, and you just don't manage to get to the topic because other things are coming in. People call and want to talk about different things. But I wanted to make sure you heard what one Providence nurse was talking about. And you know that everyone signed the contracts, everyone's back to work, I guess all is forgiven, and things are moving forward. Well, there is more than one nurse who's actually really upset with the Oregon Nurses Association. And I wanted to share with you what this, and I'm going to keep their name out of this, this anonymous nurse had to say. And if there's anybody else perhaps in the medical world that might be able to back up this nurse's story, I'd be happy to hear from you on this one. But the bottom line is that according to this anonymous nurse, in her opinion, the Oregon Nurses Association, the union, ended up using the Medford workers at the Medford Providence Hospital as leverage. And that the Medford employees actually ended up getting screwed over by this agreement as contrasted with the other hospitals, the other number seven hospitals in the Providence system. And the way she reported it to me, said our contract had ended March 31st. This was of last year. And we had been offered a tentative agreement for May. And remember, we talked about that last year, you know, and how there was, you know, quite a bit of money that had been offered, et cetera, et cetera. It looked like pretty good, but it ended up being rejected. And she says, of course, you know, we realize you can't get everything that you want. But what she says the Oregon Nurses Association did was holding Medford hostage because of combining them in with the other seven hospitals, and that Medford could have had a much better deal, had the unionized workers down here not gone with the Oregon Nurses Association's plan to tie their agreement to the other seven hospitals. And the way she talked about it is that the union served itself. The union served itself rather than serving the union membership. This is the claim. And this nurse who I ended up speaking with, you know, the anonymous nurse, said that they're getting together with the Right to Work Foundation, you know, the Mark Mix people that I talked to yesterday, and they have a foundation in there. And they would like to try to work at decertifying the union for Providence Medford. Now, I don't know if they're going to be successful at this, but she laid it out for me, and that the Medford workers, who, remember, had a plan offered to them back in May, but then the union was saying, well, no, you know, combine in the way. Now, this is just the way it's been related to me, okay? I was not involved in the, what I'm dealing with is hearsay for you, what she's saying. They've been offered a tentative agreement for May, but then the Nurses Association says, hey, let's get you in here along with the other seven hospitals. So we had Medford workers working some 46 days without pay. And she said they had to request funds every week, maybe from the union. You might get maybe $500 a week. Many of them got a second job. Many of them borrowed against retirement plans in order to keep the lights on while they were out on strike. And then afterwards, after the contract had been signed, Medford only got a 75% retroactive pay increase. And so the union membership, when they were ended up doing all the math, she said they figured out that they were $9,000 down from where they would have they accepted the earlier agreement back in May of last year. But that the union needed Medford as part of, you know, being tied to all of the other ones. So Medford ended up taking most of the pain of the Providence walkout and got less retroactive pay because all the other hospitals were working at better contracts, and their contracts ended up expiring later. Because remember, Medford's contracts expired in March of 2024. So I find that really interesting. And I don't know if there are any other nurses in the system that could concur, or if they agree or disagree with what this anonymous Providence nurser, nurse is all up to. And I asked her, I said, is everything okay? Is the work culture all right? Because, you know, there's a part of me that wondered how this was going to go. Because, you know, here it is. You're talking about how evil Providence is. And she agreed with me, though, when I said one of the biggest challenges that we're still looking at here is that Providence still loses money on providing medical care. And a lot of people still don't get that. As remember, the Oregon Nurses Association would send me propaganda all the time. And by the way, I'm not saying that Providence is clean and the nurses are bad. I'm not saying that at all. You know, everybody has a different point of view. I would go on here and I would say that Providence loses money providing medical care. And then people would say, no, you're telling an untruth, Bill. No, it's true. The only thing which keeps Providence able to stay open and provide care, it's not from the money coming in from Oregon Health Plan or people who are on Medicare or other private insurance, because there is so much charity care, so much free care, so much reduced cost care that gets provided these days, so much medical care that you can't collect, or else insurance is saying, well, we don't care if your procedure costs $500, you're getting $350, that's it, take it or leave it, you know, kind of thing. That is the way this world is functioning right now. That the only thing that pays the bills and kept the lights on there is the fact that Providence has this multi-billion-dollar investment fund. So in other words, they have this investment fund which throws off interest income and investment income, and that ends up filling in the gaps in the money there, so that way that they're able to stay in the black instead of being in the red. But just providing medical care right now for Providence right now, they lose money. They lose money on every patient that walks in there from the sounds of it. Now, it is getting better. It is getting better. But the nurse admitted that, we know that reimbursements are low and we're not going to get everything that we want. But I do find it interesting that there is some buyer's remorse to what is going on, what happened over at Providence Medford, and that some of the Medford nurses realizing that, hey, we were had, and essentially we were taking the pain, so that nurses over at the other seven Providence hospitals who were not in negotiation and had later renewing contracts than what Medford did, that Medford employees kind of got screwed for $9,000-$10,000 apiece when they actually ended up doing the math. And then also looking back to people who, once again, were borrowing against retirement, getting a second job while they were in that strike period. So I find that interesting, because there wasn't a lot of this talk back during the strike, because, you know, everyone's just kind of lining up. But now that the smoke has cleared, there might be a possibility that Oregon Nurses Association may be decertified, because they're thinking now that the Oregon Nurses Association served the Oregon Nurses Association rather than serving the Oregon nurses. I find that really interesting, because that is not an uncommon experience for many unions. And it's why private sector unions have been having a tough time there for a while. Now, that may be changing. There's talk that there is a balance of power shift going on between labor and industry right now, and getting back over to the labor side, especially with demographics, reducing the number of workers available. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of bring you in the room with what a Providence nurse was telling me, and actively involving and looking at decertifying the union for Medford. So stay tuned. That could be a really interesting wrinkle in future labor negotiations here in Southern Oregon. It's a shade before 7 o'clock, KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Cryptocurrency. Reserve currency? Really? It sounds like nonsense to me, but I'll talk to a crypto expert about this coming up in a few after the hand of the update and town hall news and a bunch more.
When it comes to your home, call on Stone.
Spring is a wonderful and beautiful time of the year. Your air conditioning system will soon be coming out of hibernation to keep you cool in the upcoming warm months. Manufacturers like